Welcome to Move the Needle. This show is designed to inform, educate, motivate, and provide perspective on all things related to pharmacy provided immunization services. Let's start moving the needle. Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of the Move the Needle podcast, where I'm joined with Ed Cohen from Pharmacy Times and John Beckner from NCPA, as well as our special guest, Christina Madison, otherwise known as the public health pharmacist. As the name implies, Move the Needle is designed to inform, educate, motivate, and provide perspective on all things related to pharmacy-provided immunization services. This month's episode might actually be a cool little two-part episode because we have a lot to discuss today. We're focusing on collaborating pharmacy and public health, including the test and treat offering for COVID-19 patients and the positives that have occurred in public health since COVID-19 has started. So, Ed, I'm going to let you take it away from here because we have a lot to get to.
Well, thank you, Jill, and welcome, John. It's great to be back together again, and a special welcome to our colleague and good friend, Christina Madison. If you both would like to say hello, and Christina, if you'd like to give our audience a little introduction on yourself, that would be wonderful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today. So as mentioned before, I'm also known as the public health pharmacist. I have been working in public health for the last little over 15 years. I started out working as the clinical pharmacist for a county health department and currently practice in a family medicine clinic that caters to the LGBTQ community. I'm also an academician and have been teaching for a college of pharmacy for now. This is my 15th year, and was able to help facilitate the administration of about 11,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccine to the Southern Nevada community during my time doing the operations and logistics for the mass vaccination campaign. So that's a little bit about me.
Excellent, Christina. And to our audience, now you know why Christina is with us today. Begin this conversation around the president's State of the Union address and his announcement, and focus on pharmacy and the offering from pharmacies for the test and being able to get tested and get treated for COVID in real time at a pharmacy. We add this to all of the wonderful expanded privileges that we have realized over the past 2 years with COVID. It's been quite an exciting time for pharmacy. I will add that as much excitement as there is for the profession of pharmacy and the positives, we are seeing some labor struggles and some shortages in some areas, being able to staff our pharmacies efficiently with both pharmacists and technicians. However, the positive news still remains. And as we, in real time, learn to figure out how to manage our new fame, if you'll call it that, we're going to glean the good news and be very happy for it. So what I'd like to do is turn it to you, John. And, you know, from your perspective, what are you seeing? And can you give us a little bit of review of the last 2 years and the different things that pharmacists have been able to expand upon?
Well, Ed, first of all, it's good to be with you again. And Christina, really appreciate you coming on to the Move the Needle podcast as a guest today. And it'll be really interesting to hear your public health perspective, because I think that's one of the really bright spots, so silver linings, if you will, with regard to the pandemic, is the collaboration that has occurred between pharmacy and public health, whether it be state health departments or local health departments and jurisdictions. You know, I think we saw a little bit of that over 12, 13 years ago with H1N1, and there's been, individual examples of pharmacies working with public health in between then and now. But I think that the pandemic has really shown a very bright light on public health and pharmacy working together and the opportunities that hopefully will exist moving forward. Ed, you mentioned the last 2 years. I think, you know, obviously the public health collaboration has been a bright spot. In addition, pharmacies, all pharmacies, whether they be independents or chains, have really stepped up to provide additional services, whether they be testing, immunizations, most recently dispensing antivirals, monoclonal antibodies. We've seen technicians receive authorization to provide immunizations. I think that's been a very bright spot. And, you know, pharmacies have really become a go-to place, not only for these services, but they've served as a source of credible information for patients and customers that obviously have had a lot of questions, a lot of anxiety in terms of, you know, is it safe to come out to the pharmacy to get these services? And I think pharmacies have really become almost like a safety net for these patients.
The burden and the stress that all of this good news has caused in our pharmacies, I'd like to spend just a couple minutes talking about that, because I see it, the majority of the focus, of course, is in the big chains and the big box stores. But John, in your lens, how are the independents faring as well in this arena with these added privileges and staffing and such?
Well, I think the stress has been profound across all pharmacy sectors and in reality across the entirety of healthcare. You know, I think, you know, with all these services that are being provided and the staffing issues that exist, I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of stress, and we've seen that. Hopefully moving forward, I think we're entering a period now where immunizations and testing has tailed off a little bit, but there's still a lot of demand to provide services. And like I said, be that credible source of information to our patients and customers. I think pharmacies have really tried to do a number of things to ease the stress. Obviously, the involvement of technicians in providing some of these services has certainly been beneficial. But like pharmacists, there's also a shortage of appropriately trained technicians right now. So I think the staffing issues is something that we're going to need to continue to monitor and take a look at moving forward.
Thank you for that, John. And I wanted to spend a few minutes and emphasize the staffing issue as we embrace this discussion about the positives that have come to the profession. I don't want anyone listening to think that we're not realizing and understanding the added stress that's come to the profession and to all of healthcare with the endless stream of patients that have come before all of healthcare over the last 2 years. But I will say that having the opportunity to have expanding testing services, the privileges around immunizations and role of the technician being able to immunize for flu and COVID, the expanded privilege down to the age of 3, have all been a wonderful addition to our offerings. And to your point, John, as we are becoming a neighborhood source for convenient healthcare services, these services are key to having that distinction. Other things that pharmacies have had to embrace is getting CLIA waivers to do all this new testing and provide these services. They've had to discover and embrace new billing paths, embracing medical billing and splitting up services outside of their normal workflow. There's been a steep learning curve, and the profession has truly embraced all of that, and we're very grateful for that. So all that said, one of the reasons that we asked Christina to join us today is all of these extended privileges, addition of services, have come to the pharmacies through emergency decrees in the different states and through the PREP Act that the federal government has put into place that allows pharmacy to be able to take on these new roles and responsibilities and serve as what I'll call an adjunct to public health services. All of that has been great, and I think we need to get a little bit of background around that collaboration between public health and pharmacy. I think we're going to then go into more of a discussion about what happens when these emergency decrees start to sunset. And we are seeing some states that are not able to prolong their emergency orders much longer, or if at all. And I know with the president stating test and treat. It does add an additional layer of focus for pharmacy, but that PrEP Act will sunset some days as well. And, you know, where will pharmacy be and what are we doing today that's actually going to prepare us to continue to take on this role and responsibility? And if we're not prepared to do that, what then happens to our patients and the public? And then the burden then flows to public health. And how are we going to be able to then turn the tide and help public health to take on their extra burden?
Well, the first thing that I would like to say is that I feel that every pharmacist is a public health pharmacist, because as one of the most accessible healthcare professionals, we are, you know, talking about preventative care and disease mitigation, which really is what public health is all about. Obviously, my focus for the last 15 years has been in communicable disease prevention, as that relates to not only things around the pandemic, because I also participated in mass vaccination clinics during H1N1 and was, you know, what we call a pod manager. So those are those points of distribution or points of dispensing for the mass vaccination campaigns for my county health department. I feel that, you know, a lot of the principles and a lot of the activities that pharmacists do on a day-to-day basis really are in kind with those public health principles of reducing, you know, health disparities and looking at social determinants of health and, you know, population health principles. The other thing too that I just wanted to mention was just a couple of statistics. So one of the biggest things that came out of the last pandemic, which I am hopeful to see with this one, is a true evolution of the perception as well as the actual function of pharmacies and pharmacists. So the last time that I looked, I saw that statistically, we now know that over 80% of all vaccinations, not just COVID vaccines, but all vaccinations in the United States are now administered by a pharmacy or a pharmacist, which is incredible. And that really started during H1N1 because of the expanded need for more access points to get mass vaccinations. And then the other statistic that I heard was that over 70% of all COVID vaccines are administered by pharmacies or pharmacists. So when you look at this from a standpoint of longevity and how, you know, the public now sees us as being not just the most accessible healthcare professional, but really this one-stop shop for all pandemic needs, including testing, vaccination, and now therapeutics, I think it's really important that we as pharmacy advocates discuss the need for continuation of these emergency measures, which is what actually happened after H1N1. So, you know, looking at this forward thinking, you know, not just thinking about the traditional role of pharmacists working in public health, which are things like, you know, pharmacists working for as a commissioned officer for the public health services, you know, things such as people working for Indian Health Services, individuals working in the Department of Corrections. Those are all what I would consider to be traditional roles for public health pharmacists, but I do truly see that this is going to be an expansion and that the community pharmacist really should be thinking about these public health principles. And I see this as a jumping off point for additional services such as contraceptive services, HIV prevention, testing for other communicable diseases that can be easily tested for with rapid testing, like rapid flu tests, you know, rapid STI testing, all things that, you know, it's a known diagnosis and a known treatment. So why shouldn't the pharmacist be able to provide those services? Now, I do want to address the issue of staffing, because obviously, you know, this has been a burden. And I think we need to provide pharmacists with the resources in order to be able to expand and work at the, you know, at the level of their top of their license. And I think that really comes from utilizing the technician to the best of their ability so that it frees us up to do the clinical services and the billing for those clinical services in order to be reimbursed for our skills and our services, as well as the fact that we need to be provided with the time. So if the dispensing part of it, which is the product of the actual profession of pharmacy, if that burden was lessened through things like automation and technology and maybe delivery services, I think we could be seeing a revolution of the profession.
I've always believed that there will be a time where a pharmacist will not have a direct responsibility to fulfillment of prescriptions. I've always believed that. And the closer it gets to the end of my time as a pharmacist, I believe that that is becoming more and more of a reality. And you bring up an excellent point. Central Fill is becoming expanded, and PBMs, of course, have demonstrated that they're not truly valuing the role of the pharmacist in the fulfillment process. And pharmacy must move on from that fulfillment role to actually survive into the future. And taking on this public health role, as you've described so eloquently, and these expanded services beyond the COVID focus that we have today, truly will give pharmacy that boost and give us all that opportunity to use that wonderful education that we have received and all the skills that we possess. So, John, where are you thinking in all of these topics here?
I think Christina did an excellent job of framing a number of issues. And certainly, I think they're really, to her point, I think the profession is undergoing an evolution right now in terms of the types of services that pharmacies are providing and emphasis on public health. You know, she mentioned technology and the use of technicians and, you know, kind of moving away from focus on product. And, you know, one of the things that NCPA has been very focused on over the course of the last year, and it's really has become our primary focus, is helping to change the pharmacy payment model. For there to be more time devoted to these services, there's obviously got to be payment. And changing the pharmacy payment model through initiatives such as CPSN is going to be critical moving forward. So we're very focused on that. The other thought that came to mind is, you know, we talked about returning to normal and returning to the way it was before COVID. And I think in terms of everyday life, we all hope that that's going to happen. But with regard to pharmacy, I'm not sure we want it the way it was. You know, COVID has been an impetus behind a lot of pharmacies that were not involved in immunizations to really get involved in that space. The same with testing. You mentioned CLIA waivers and getting CLIA waivers so you can do point of care testing. I think a lot of these things have happened as a result of COVID. And certainly, the collaboration that has occurred with public health. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, there was some of that going on, but certainly not to the extent that it is now.